Cancer is never a pleasant topic to talk about, and sadly, it's a condition that many of us and our pets are going to have to deal with in our lifetimes. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network as we visit with Dr. Kerry Donahue, who is the owner and founder of Full Circle Veterinary Clinic, a graduate of the UW School of Veterinary Medicine. She uses a range of alternative therapies to complement the traditional veterinary medical training that she has as well. And she's won Best of Madison for 2014 in the veterinary category. And congratulations again for that.
Thank you so much.
And welcome back to the program. And this is a topic, you know, it's a sad topic to have to deal with, but unfortunately, lots of us are going to have to deal with that, with cancer, with our pets over. One or another. It's a sad fact of life.
It is.
If a pet lives long enough, there's a good chance.
Boy, yeah, and you know, even more unfortunately, is we're seeing cancer in animals who are younger and younger.
Is that right?
It is. And whether we're diagnosing it more or it's showing up more for whatever reason, it's hard to really pinpoint the cause. But yeah, more and more animals are ending up with cancer.
You know, somebody asked me, what happens when cancer develops? And I think that's a good question to Mm-hmm. A good thing to address. What does happen?
Right. Yeah. So cancer is what starts with a cell that mutates. So cells in our body are dividing all of the time and regenerating themselves. And the cells will sometimes mutate. And usually what happens is a healthy immune system will recognize that mutated cell and clear it out of the system and get rid of it. Or if a cell starts to mutate and multiply, the immune system should take care of it. That would be a normal response. Now, what can happen in cancer is the body does not recognize, or the immune system is not strong enough or not functioning optimally to clear out and recognize that cell that's mutated. So it continues to grow, continues to divide and replicate, and turns into some type of a growth or a tumor.
Mm-hmm. And is are the types of cancer common for dogs and cats? Or are there different cancers for the animals?
Boy, both dogs and cats are afflicted with a number of similar types of cancer, and then they each have their own types of cancer. Cats in specifically tend to get more types of sarcomas, which can be related to vaccines, vaccine administration, that dogs usually don't tend to get. But really, a lot of the types of cancer are present in both dogs and cats.
Yeah. Let's talk about symptoms a bit. What about symptoms in dogs and cats?
Yeah, probably the most common thing that people notice if there is a type of cancer growing on the skin is that there is a little lump somewhere on the skin. So that would be the most obvious. If you ever notice any sort of a lump or a bump on your animal, it's always a good idea to take them into the vet to get that checked out. And your veterinarian right in the clinic can either take an aspirate or a sample of that mass and look under the microscope and see if there are any cells that look abnormal in there. They can take a biopsy of that mass and have it evaluated and see if it is cancer and what type of cancer it is. So that would be probably the most common form that we do see, but there are some cancers that develop internally too, in the GI tract, in the liver, in the spleen, and those signs are not so specific. They can be something like vomiting that doesn't stop, or diarrhea that is chronic and doesn't respond to other things. Animals that just don't feel well, that don't have good energy, that might not want to eat as much as they usually do. So those are some signs that you might see that would kind of clue you in that something is going on, and something that you would want to have checked out with your vet.
And when it's checked out and it's diagnosed, treatments are similar to what people would have? Or
boy, there are quite a few similarities in veterinary oncology and human oncology. So the veterinary world kind of mimics the human world in that We do chemotherapy in animals. We do radiation therapy in animals. There are a lot of surgeries that can be done to remove those masses, and sometimes that's enough to eliminate the problem. And a lot of alternative treatments, too, which is what I really focus on.
Yeah, I wanted to pursue that with you. What are some of the natural and holistic treatments?
Boy, there are so many out there. And if there's anything that I would like to get across to people today is that there, as far as cancer treatments and cancer therapies go, there is no black and white, and there is no either or. There are so many options out there. It's not that you either do chemotherapy or you do nothing, or you do radiation therapy or nothing. There are a million things that you can do. Holistic treatments, I use quite a bit of acupuncture, and acupuncture is great in stimulating the immune system. So helping the animal's energy level get strong enough so their body is able to fight off that cancer itself. So kind of developing that healing power the animals had that we all have within us that is just, you know, decreased if there is any development of cancer. So acupuncture, there are herbs that you can use, homeopathic treatments, many, many different things.
Just to tell a story on myself or our family, we had one of our cats, and this is some years ago now, Frosty, had cancer, an internal. Mm-hmm. And our vet said, you know, this is, at one point said, you know, this is probably, you know, the time. Maybe. And we didn't take that advice, and instead talked to another vet who said, well, we can cure, we may be able to handle this. And so radiation therapy, the poor Frosty had to, I was in a lot of pain, had to be in a lead-lined box after the therapy. And it was just a terrible experience for the kitty and for us. Mm-hmm. And besides, it was very expensive. But the part that bothered me the most was the pain and the what I must have been terrible, they have to be in a lead-lined box for that cat. Mm-hmm. And then the kitty, she was fine for about 3 weeks, and then the cancer came back, and then we had her put down. So I'm telling you right now, I would never, I personally wouldn't put another cat through anything like that.
And that's what I hear from a lot of people, too, is once they have experience with cancer in their pets and they go through a certain type of treatment or a certain type of therapy, they then, if they're ever faced with that situation again, they are much more clear in how they want to move forward.
Yeah.
And I think it's so important to take into account every individual animal and paying attention to quality of life at every step of the way. And suffering should never be a part of any sort of either therapy or treatment or anything like that. So, you know, we do the best that we can to keep animals feeling good and feeling happy and live with cancer. But if it gets to the point where they are not able to live comfortably with that cancer or we are not able to get rid of it, yeah, the kindest thing is often to help ease that suffering.
Dr. Carrie Donahue, our guest today, owner and founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care on in Madison, on the east side of Madison, as a matter of fact, near where I live, as a matter of fact, probably less than a mile.
We're located at 231 South Fair Oaks Avenue, Fair Oaks and Atwood.
And you have a great website.
Oh, thank you.
So when, give that website so people, and we actually, I know Judith, in her usual efficiency, has it up on my our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. But what's the address for that?
The website is fullcirclepet.com.
Fullcirclepet.com. And again, you can go to our Facebook page, the Larry Mueller Show, and we'll have it there in case you forget it along the way here. And join in with a question at 1-800-642-1234. I know people were, a lot of people were just listening and wanting to hear what you had to say about this. But if you have an experience to share or a question, and it can be cancer or something else too, please feel free to join in at 1-800-642-1234. I did a Facebook question from Susan who wonders what suggestions you might have for a 3-year-old German Shepherd diagnosed with canine lymphoma.
Oh, boy, that is a tough diagnosis, lymphoma.
Is it?
Especially in a 3-year-old dog. And another case of just a younger animal having this serious type of cancer. So lymphoma is a cancer that does tend to respond well to chemotherapy. And a lot of experiences that I have with animals going through chemotherapy is that they're able to get states of remission for long periods of time. I have not had an experience with lymphoma where we are able to cure it completely, but we are able to knock it back. So the animal has a good quality of life for a while, as long as we're able to do. But the animals that I see that have lymphoma, I usually support them by doing acupuncture, by doing herbal blends, just to keep their appetite up and their energy level up and to help them fight it off as much as they can.
Does that help with pain as well?
Yes, definitely. Yep, and certain types of cancer can be very painful. Some types of cancer can just cause nausea or make the animal lose their appetite. So acupuncture is wonderful to help with all of those things.
And where did you get your training for that?
I did my acupuncture training at a place called the Qi Institute, and it's down in Florida. It's a place that has been developed especially for veterinarians to get training in traditional Chinese medicine. So trained in acupuncture and Chinese herbs. Wonderful
place. That was really great.
It was really, really wonderful. It opened my eyes to just a completely different type of perspective and a different approach to any number of diseases that we're faced with in animals.
Yeah, and you've had some wonderful successes. So.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
yeah.
Yes.
We can talk about some of those, but we have Nick in Green Bay with a question for you. So let's go to Cheryl. I put Cheryl up. Nick, you're next, but Cheryl in Conover, let's go to you first. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, how are you today?
Great, thank you for calling. What can we do for you?
Well, all I have to say is that I'm a golden retriever mother, and I have had some goldens in the past with lymphosarcoma, and I'd like the vet to just kind of elaborate a little bit on that, but I do know for one thing that the University of Wisconsin-Madison has one of the top-notch programs at the veterinary school for cancer in golden retrievers.
Mm-hmm.
My one golden retriever, Harley, God love him, and I get goosebumps just even thinking about the day I had to put him to the other side of the rainbow. And he was 10 years old and he fought it, and we tried everything, and we had a veterinarian in the Austin, Texas area who was our very, very close friend. He called the University of Wisconsin to get their protocol for treating our dog, because we were at that time living in Austin. And I just can't say enough for what he tried, in that we tried. But the cancer came back with a vengeance. Our veterinarian was kind enough to come to our home and send Harley to the other side of the rainbow. So if you would just comment on why the golden retrievers just seem to be so prone to cancer.
You know, it's interesting that different breeds of dogs have proclivities for different kinds of things. And I guess with goldens, apparently.
Boy. Yeah, golden retrievers and the lymphosarcoma especially. And that's one of those things where there is a clear genetic component to cancer, or like what you said, the proclivity of the body to develop cancer. And that's something that we just don't have any control over. And that's the hardest thing. You know, there are things that you can do to prevent cancer in your animals, like limiting their exposure to toxins and chemicals and all of that stuff that might be out there. But there are also things that you just don't have any control over. So doing the best that you can every step of the way is all that you can do. And yeah, I really have to say what the caller mentioned about the UW-Madison. We are so fortunate to have such a wonderful oncology program going on at the UW Vet School right here in Wisconsin. It's really wonderful, and we have the best of the best researchers, studies going on, and oncologists working there that can give you so much help and so much support if you have an animal that is going through something like this.
Our guest, Dr. Carrie Donahue, owner and founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Visiting with Dr. Carrie Donahue about a range of options for treating a pet with cancer and certainly looking at other health issues as well with your pet. And I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can go to our Facebook page. Its title is The Larry Mueller Show, and you can post a love to see a pet photo. So, you know, if you got a nice photo of your dog or your kitty, send it along, and you can post your question at the same time on The Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. Nick in Green Bay, thank you for waiting. Hello.
Thanks for taking my call. I just had a quick question. I've got an 11-year-old lab. He's more like one of our babies, but he developed like a little like zit on his chin, and it's just like a mole, but it bleeds once in a while. And I'm working on getting him in. I work a lot of hours. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if I should be overly concerned with it.
So it looks like a pimple, sort of?
Yeah, and he's completely healthy. He's like best dog we've ever gotten. He was actually a rescue dog, so it was... I mean, best dog we've ever had. The kids just love him.
So it looks just like a pimple, or is it?
Yep, it just looks like a mole, but on top there's just like a little laceration where it bleeds once in a great while. It's not like it's like continually bleeding. It's just if he bumped it or something, he must hit a vessel in there and it bleeds a little bit, but nothing severe. But
still, it may be worth a look.
It might be. Have you noticed that it seems like it's growing or changing in size or any color?
Nope. It's just like a mole that it's just like a mole you'd have that just, you know, once in a while you might scrape it and it bleeds. And it's, like I said, it's not profusely or anything. It's just it bleeds a little bit like a cut and then heals back up. But it's always there, though. It's like the size of an eraser, like on the back of a pencil.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the thing is with older dogs is they tend to develop these lumps and bumps that are not cancerous, but they are these little growths, whether it's a wart or a hair follicle that might just be plugged up that tends to grow, or some sort of benign cyst that just fills up with fluid. So that's the thing that, you know, we just can't tell a lot of times by looking at it. So that's why it might be worth having them into the vet where they could take a little sample of that, look under the microscope and see what it looks like, see what those cells look like to really let you know if it is something to worry about, if it's something that you might want to have taken off and removed, or if you can just kind of keep an eye on it and keep it from getting infected. That would be the other thing that I would worry about. If it's opening up and bleeding, it has a higher chance of becoming infected and then turning into something more.
Yeah. So thanks, Nick. Worth a look. Get your dog in. Have the vet take a look at it. And Ann in Madison, thanks you very much for calling as well. What's on your mind?
Well, I don't really have a question, but I just have heard a lot of people calling in with very young animals and, you know, looking at facing that euthanasia decision. Mm-hmm. And I have found that that in the wild, I believe I read a statistic one time that about 5% of all animals, wild animals, live to see their first birthday. So if the animal is more than 1 year old, it already got a better deal than it would have gotten in the wild, probably. It already got dealt a better hand just by coming to you. Then having that wonderful life without worms and parasites and ticks and fleas and having, you know, the warm place to sleep and the food regularly and all that stuff, water, clean water all the time. So it already got a better deal. It already, you know, and if you didn't create the cancer, you can't fix it. And so it's sometimes time just to know that that animal got a better deal than it would have got. And I keep birds, and to me, the sweet ones are the sick ones. When they, you know, so even when an animal is exceptionally sweet, I look at that as a symptom that it needs to go to the vet. There's something wrong.
Thank you very much for calling and for your comments, Ann. Dr. Carrie, what do you think?
Boy, I think that's a very, very good perspective to keep in mind. And having a positive attitude is so important. And always remembering that, you know, you're doing the very best for your animal every step of the way. And everyone that I see always is. And really remembering that any decision that you make for your pet that is in their best interest, that comes from a place of love and care, is always going to be the right decision.
Anne, thank you again for calling. I appreciate it very much. I want to give Liz and Madison a chance to join us. Liz, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. Hi, Dr. Carey and Larry. This is really opportune. I have a 6.5-year-old French bulldog named Charlotte. And Charlotte has always had trouble with skin allergies. However, this year she developed gastric reflux and also intermittent problems with diarrhea. And I started wondering if maybe she doesn't have allergies to her food and to a lot more than what I think she's got allergies to. And I've been thinking, I've tried everything for her gastric reflux and her allergies and everything else, and nothing seems to work. And I'm wondering, Dr. Carey, if acupuncture would work for something like this.
Boy, it's definitely worth trying. And I couldn't say that acupuncture would be your final answer, but I think it could definitely help. What kind of food do you have your dog on right now?
Right now they're on Merix.
Oh, okay. And that's a very good quality food.
Yeah, it's very good quality, right? Mm-hmm. And I've got Charlotte on Prilosec once a day for her gastric reflux, and it's holding her most days. It works just fine, and other days she continues to have a problem. Her skin issues, every summer from spring until it freezes hard in the fall, mm-hmm. she has problems with her allergies in her skin. And some years she scratches herself so much that she scratches an open area. And then she gets these little bumps all over her body. So my vet has thought that these are all part of an allergy issue of some mm-hmm. sort. But, you know, none of the over-the-counter antihistamines work. We've tried everything, and nothing seems to work for this at all. So that's why I'm just wondering if this isn't all a problem of if it isn't all one problem, if she's not allergic to something that I'm giving her. But, you know, and I guess the question was maybe her food. So, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know, short of stopping everything and maybe just trying, you know, something that is so benign, you know, and I don't know what that would be. Mm-hmm. I guess I was just wondering if acupuncture might be something that might help boost her immune system mm-hmm. or, you know, do something that might help in that area.
Yes, I think it would definitely be worth trying. And, you know, we talked about this last time. Allergies this year have, and they continue. You know, with the warm weather, they're continuing.
Yesterday, my eyes were running.
Yeah.
Oh, the poor animals that I see that are just miserable. And as much as we don't want the cold weather to come, I think it will give a lot of us some relief. So, but yeah, you know, I think there's such a connection between GI tract disorders and skin allergies. There's so much tied in food allergies, environmental allergies, that a lot of times they go hand in hand. So I think addressing the food and maybe getting your dog back to a very, very basic diet, if you think that you might be able to do even some home cooking where you are in control of all of the ingredients that your pet is getting, doing that in conjunction with the acupuncture to help boost the immune system, that might be the way to go. Just kind of get back to basics, start from scratch, maybe add in an herbal sort of detox, like milk thistle, which helps to flush out all of that histamine that's being created by the body, and kind of start from that point and go forward.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Get the milk thistle in any health food store, would that be? Because I've heard about milk thistle before.
Oh, yeah. Any animal can benefit from milk thistle. It just helps to support the liver and helps to support the detoxification process. So you can get milk thistle in a human form in a capsule. I carry it in my practice in an herbal tincture that's preserved with glycerin, so it's sweet and it's easy to give to animals. So that's usually the route that I go. And you can really find that probably anywhere on the internet. You could contact me if you wanted to get it, or most holistic vets carry milk thistle for pets.
Okay. All right. I'll check into that. But I've heard about that before and just have never, you know, actually gotten to a point of actually buying any and trying it on her. So, but okay. Well, great. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. And so you keep that as a regular. You've got that in your practice.
I do. I use it all the time. And really, going back to the cancer, any animal that's diagnosed with cancer, I recommend getting them on a home-cooked, just simple, simple diet and doing a detoxification process. And that includes either just milk thistle, or I also have an herbal blend in my clinic that has milk thistle, that has burdock in it, and has dandelion. Mm-hmm. All of those herbs are really good for just kind of flushing out those toxins from the system.
Mm-hmm. So when you say flushing out, you mean really the animal is going to going a lot more.
Yeah, I mean, and
I'm trying to say, think of the delicate way to put it, but that's I want people to know what they're going to expect.
You know, that's a very good point, and thank you for bringing that up, because it's easy to say these things, and it's another one to actually kind of sometimes deal with the effects of them. So you're very true. Adding in any sort of an herbal supplement in general has the potential to cause GI upset or just the process of the body flushing it out. So you might see some soft stool, and you might see more than that. And if you do happen to see something like that, then I would back off. Back off on the herb, take it to a lower dose or stop it, and then start it again in a couple of days.
Dr. Carrie Donahue, our guest, owner and founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care. She works out of Madison and really has patients not only in Madison, but I think pretty much around the state and even out of the state a little bit too.
Yes.
So, and, you know, I asked for photos on our Facebook page, and first, there are some great dog photos on the Facebook page. But here's one from Crystal of her kitty. And her kitty has got, it's a Halloween costume, and it's like a caterpillar.
That is adorable.
Oh, my goodness me. If you have a chance to go to our Facebook page, go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page and it's a comment to the show status. If you go there, you'll just click on that kitty.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I've seen dogs in Halloween costumes. I don't know if I've seen a cat dressed up like that before.
Oh, that is really something. And I'm thinking, oh, I wish I had that for Coco. You know, we have Coco and we have Tiger. Now, Tiger would not be up for that at all. But Coco probably would. Coco would be willing to try.
Wow.
Oh, it is really, boy, if you have a chance to get online, take a look at it, because it is very endearing. Although, you know, you look at a kitty's eye, and the cat doesn't look cat does not look like extremely happy to have this caterpillar costume. Oh, boy. Dr. Gary Donahue, our guest Larry Mueller here. Thank you so much for listening in. Paul in Wausau has a question for you, so let's go there. Paul, hi. Thank you for calling.
Thanks for taking the call, Larry.
Sure.
Love you. Love your show.
Thank you.
Carrie, you kind of took some of my thunder. I was going to ask about a diet when a pet is diagnosed with cancer. Right? Mm-hmm. I know recent studies have shown a high correlation to high carb diets in humans and cancer.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, some of it has gone to say, you know, too high of a carb diet actually can be a cause of cancer. And there's some studies where if you eliminate it altogether in early stages, you can eliminate the cancer. If you kind of eliminate the food of the cancer, you eliminate the cancer itself. Mm-hmm. Have you found that to be true?
Boy, you know, I really have. And what I recommend for animals that have cancer is to get on a very, very low carbohydrate diet. Because you're exactly right. The cancer cells feed on carbohydrates. They are not able to feed on fat that the body takes. They're somewhat able to feed and reproduce on protein, but they live on carbohydrates. So that's why I recommend if you can get your animal off of a kibble, start making the food yourself if you're able to. And so you can control the portions of the protein and getting the good fats in there and limiting the carbohydrates as much as you can. It's only going to help your animal. And who, you know, we just don't know, because every cancer is so different. Every animal is so different. We just don't know what the results might be, but we do know that it will only help. It's not going to do any harm to change them over to a more whole food diet that you are in control of.
There we go.
Do you have any recommendations of store brands?
Of what's that?
Of store brands. Are there some cat foods out there, for example, that are no carb, low or no carb?
Yes, there are. Two of the cat food brands that I highly recommend that are human-grade protein, good fat, and low carbohydrate content are, one of them is called Weruva. It's Weruva. And the other one is called Tiki Cat. And those are two great brands that make wonderful foods. Or wonderful canned foods. I usually always recommend canned foods for cats.
There we go. Thanks a lot for calling, Paul. Appreciate it. And turning next to Stephanie in Wausau. Hi, Stephanie. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thank you both so much.
What's on your mind?
I have a 14-year-old lab. She has no health issues. I mean, nothing documented as far as blood, cancers, et cetera. She has had seizures, though, for the last 7 years. They're not grand mal seizures. You know, they're not a huge production. It's just shaking, staring, falling over if she's standing up. And that's about it. I mean, she doesn't seem to be affected by them afterward. There is some, you know, muscle tension where, you know, her joints get stiff. I mean, she's 14. She's not young anymore, you know, because she's clenching so much the entire time that when she gets up sometimes her back legs will give out on her. But it goes away.
Yeah.
Like I said, we've done blood work. We've done testing. It's nothing neurological. She's not diabetic. So I don't know if you have any suggestions how to make this easier on her. I mean, she's still healthy. She still eats. She still gets excited.
Okay. What do you think, Dr. Carey?
Well, as far as controlling the seizures, or once you, and sometimes what people will notice is they can tell when a seizure might be coming in an animal. Some of the behaviors will change. And if you are at that point where you might be able to recognize that something is coming on, there is a very nice, it's a homeopathic remedy that you can give. It's actually from a flower essence. It's called Rescue Remedy, and it's made by the Bach Flower Company. That can, if you can give that to the animal at the onset of a seizure, usually that can decrease the time that the seizure is happening and can help them come out of it a lot quicker. So that might be something to look into having on hand. It's called Rescue Remedy, and you can find it in any health food store. It's a product that's typically made for humans, but they also have a pet formula as well. So that might be something to think about. There is another herb that's called valerian root, and that has shown to have some anti-seizure effects. So that might also be something that you would think about kind of supplementing into her food on a daily basis just to help to prevent those seizures from happening.
There we go.
Sure.
Thank you, Stephanie, for calling. Good luck. And, excuse me, Pete in Mindaro, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, Larry. Hi, Dr. Donahue. I'd like to alert your listeners to a real insidious disease that long breed dogs can get. It's called, and by long breed, I mean like your German Shepherds, long in length, and particularly German Shepherds. It's called Cauda equina, C-A-U-D-A equina, and it's Latin for horse tail or horse's tail. It is a disease that presents itself My dog Roxy started by arching her back and falling a lot in the rear end, and I took her into my regular vet. He did all the normal. He tested her liver function, her kidney function, and we did X-rays and ultrasounds. All that came back. Of course, you know, that's expensive, and she was a very valued dog. She continued to progress to literally falling down, and then finally became just bedbound. Yeah. And I called another vet to basically have her put down, and he was unavailable, thank God. I went in desperation to a third vet. I brought her in, a veteran in lacrosse, a veterinarian in lacrosse, and he took one look at her and said, I know what's wrong with this dog, and we can help her. And the treatment for it is a disease of degenerative spine, and it's treated with steroids, prednisone, that you have to administer. Well, you administer only as much as the dog needs. And that turned that dog from down to a dog that I walked every day for 2 years.
Oh, wow.
It's a great story. Are you familiar with that that issue?
Boy, I have seen it, but I haven't seen it very much.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those things that's out there that probably because we don't see it that much, it might be misdiagnosed, or we might, you know, without doing a lot of diagnostics, sometimes it can appear to be something else going on. So I'm really glad that you were able to get that and treat it with the prednisone and keep your dog on hopefully a low dose of prednisone to control that the inflammation and the nerves and keep everything under control. That's wonderful.
Yeah. Thank you very much for calling, Pete. I really appreciate your call. Dr. Carrie Donahue, our guest. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for listening in on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here taking a look at your pet's health today. Zeroed in a bit on cancer, but talking other pet issues, health issues as well with our guest, Dr. Carrie Donahue, owner and founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care. Great to have her with us, and thank you so much for listening in. Call at 800-642-1234. Post a question on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We've got some great photos up there as well. So even if you don't have one to post, I hope you'll go take a look because there's some great ones. That's at The Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. And you can also email us at talk@wpr.org. Lynn in La Crosse has been waiting a long time, so let's go there. Lynn, thank you for waiting.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a horse who is 28 years old and about 6 months ago diagnosed with Cushing's disease. And we have chosen not to treat her for this, but as I understand it, it's a type of cancer, and she is showing some signs with some thrush in her hooves and the hair growth, the uneven hair growth, and then some runny eyes. And I'm just wondering if there are any holistic approaches or things that I can work with to maybe, I guess I'm especially concerned about any pain she might be having. So, and maybe how I might know she's in pain and then to make arrangements to have her put down before things get too out of control for her.
Yeah, Cushing's disease is one of those that we see in dogs as well quite a bit. And what it is that either the adrenal glands are overactive and they're putting out too much of the body's natural steroid into the bloodstream. And so in the natural steroid in the body is cortisol. So either the adrenal glands are overactive or the pituitary gland, which tells the adrenal glands to put out that steroid, that is overactive. And often what happens is there is a tumor on either the pituitary gland or the adrenal glands that causes this overactive overproduction of this steroid. So what we see is animals that have, because they have so much of this steroid in the body, they're hungry all the time, they're drinking all the time, they're going to the bathroom quite a bit, they're gaining weight, and they might not feel great. You know, they can get this pot-bellied appearance, at least in dogs. And with horses, you can have the hair loss, too. Because their immune system is suppressed, they're more prone to getting infections. Like with the horse having the thrush, that it's just a side effect of the Cushing's disease. So there are some pharmaceutical medications that can be used to treat, to stop the production of the cortisol and by the adrenal glands, or to go in and destroy that tumor. But they're pretty heavy-duty medications, and they can have a lot of side effects. So usually what my approach to Cushing's disease in dogs, and I think you could also use this in your horse, is to use acupuncture and to use herbals, which really go a long way in just kind of balancing out an endocrine system that is out of balance, you know, getting things back on track and helping your animal feel as good as possible and kind of controlling. I don't know if it's so much painful as much as they just don't feel great. They don't have very good energy. So that's kind of, I think, what you'll be watching for as the disease kind of goes on.
So are there vets out there that would do acupuncture on a horse?
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely.
Have you done it?
No.
I didn't think
so. No, I am not a large animal
person.
So, but yeah, there are definitely vets out there that do acupuncture on horses, that do acupuncture on cows to increase milk production or to treat cows holistically who are being used for organic milk or dairy. So you would just have to, you know, either Google holistic acupuncture large animal vets or go to the American Holistic Veterinary Medical Association website and get a list of vets that do that.
Yeah. Or if you know an organic farmer in the area, probably that he or she would have may well have had some dealings with a vet in the neighborhood.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So things to think about, Lynn. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And Tony in Cloquet, Minnesota, it is your turn. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, hi. I have huskies at home, and I feed them a 50-50 diet, kibble and homemade. And I always hear these rumors that annual checkups or annual shots for dogs and cats can cause cancer. Now, I want to know if this is true or not so people out there can understand that, yeah, you have to give them shots. They need it. So I'll take my answer off the air.
All right.
Okay. I think vaccines are very important in animals and protecting them from infectious diseases that they might be exposed to, like the rabies vaccine. It's required by law. We have to vaccinate our animals for that. Distemper, parvovirus in dogs is very infectious. They can get very sick and can be fatal. Vaccines are important for that. And in cats, the feline distemper vaccine is also important. There are some, those are considered the core vaccines. And I think it's important to vaccinate your dog or your cat while they are young and get their immunity set up. What I think the problem is that I see is over-vaccination.
Yeah.
And vaccinating our animals every single year, especially for diseases that they might never come into contact with.
Yeah.
So yeah. I would say do, as far as vaccines go, do the minimal amount. And talk to your vet and, you know, kind of figure out what your lifestyle is, what your pet's lifestyle is, what they are really at the risk of getting. And vaccinate them to protect them from those things.
Thank you. That was a great question. Thank you so much. And we had a Facebook question from Daniel, whose lab just turned four, doing a belly rub session, discovered a couple of kidney bean-shaped sized lumps on one of her breasts. The vet did a needle biopsy, took some samples. Looks like they're only fatty tissue. Her grandmother had several lumps removed over her lifetime, but she lived 17 years. They had a wait-a-well view of them, and what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's why, you know, taking that step to get them get the sample done and have it checked out is always a good idea, because then you have a then you know what you might be dealing with.
Yeah.
So many of these lumps and bumps that happen in animals are just those fatty tumors, which are called lipomas, where it's just a buildup of fatty tissue. So by having your vet take a sample and look, you're able to determine if that's what it is. If that's the case, you know, there's not really a whole lot that I recommend doing with those. If they're bothering the animal, if she's scratching at them, then having them removed. But if not, just leaving them alone. Now, what would concern me with this is the site of where those lumps were found. If they were found in the mammary tissue, dogs have such, female dogs especially, that haven't been spayed until later in life, tend to develop mammary cancers.
Oh.
So another reason why very important to have it checked out and then always keep an eye on it. If it seems like things are growing, they're changing color, changing size, shape, looking a little bit different, have it checked out again.
Yeah, go back. We have a Facebook question from Cheryl. Any suggestions on treating autoimmune deficiency? My in-laws have a blue heeler that has it and has lost most of his hair.
That's a tough one. Another, yeah, sort of the immune system-related disorder. And I see so much of that in animals, whether it's a hyperactive immune system resulting in allergies or a hypoactive immune system resulting in an animal that's more prone to infections, or an immune-mediated disease where the immune system is just not responding appropriately and might be attacking its own tissues, the body's own tissues. So typically what is used in a case like that is something like a steroid like prednisone that really suppresses the immune system response. And that is a lot of times necessary to kind of keep things under control. So if your vet hasn't done something like that, you might maybe take the dog in and see what options are available. I would always recommend doing, and actually one of my favorite supplements for any sort of immune issue is called Moducare. And Moducare is something that you can get online, and it's actually a sterol or a natural steroid that's derived from plants.
Oh.
And you can give it to your animal, and it helps to balance the immune system response. If the immune system is not strong, it boosts it up. If it's too much, it takes it back down, or it kind of helps to moderate the immune system. Okay. So that might be something to look into as well for your dog.
Worth a look, for sure. Glenna in Franklin, your turn. Thanks for waiting. Hi.
Hi. I have a Lasso Apso. Oh, she hears me talking. I have a Lasso Apso. She's about 10 years old. And she, for like, I would say the last 6 months, all around her mouth is now, her fur is orange. And her feet are orange, reddish, pink, orange, whatever. And I can't figure, nothing changed really in her diet. So I don't know for sure if it's like the pH, or I don't really know what would cause it, and if there's something I could do to correct it.
When I usually see that, the fur discoloration where it's changing kind of that orangish, it means that the animal is licking at their feet. So if your dog has lighter colored fur and it's turning orange, it's probably from the licking, and around the mouth too. And what happens is the saliva that they get on their fur has a type of bacteria in it that changes color. So that's why you get that orange look to it. So kind of, you know, figuring out why she's licking at her paws, if she has some type of allergy or something that she's coming into contact with that's bothering her feet, that and that's why she's licking, something to think about too. Or if she, you know, is maybe salivating a lot and getting some saliva in the fur around her mouth, and that could be causing that too. So nothing I would really worry about, but maybe figuring out what the underlying issue is.
Okay.
With the licking.
Like licking the feet. But
yeah.
She does lick her feet all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the other orange part. Yeah. Around her mouth and her feet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So allergy.
You think that could be like allergy to...
Probably. A lot of dogs, especially this time of year, are licking their feet because they're walking around outside, getting all of that pollen, all of the allergens in between their toes, and it's getting into the skin and it's bothering them, so they lick their feet to make it, to get it off and to make themselves feel better.
Uh-huh.
There you go. There you go. So things to think about. Things to think about, Glenna. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. We have Tom and Earl. Let's go there. Tom, hi. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I'm calling with my 7-year-old female St. Bernard.
Okay.
I want to know the odds of her getting mammary cancer. She ain't fixed, and I've had her bred a couple of times, and I want to get her bred one more time, but after that, she's going to get fixed.
Oh, okay. Well, unfortunately, the odds of a female dog getting mammary cancer do go up the older that they get and the more that they go through these heat cycles. So there is a chance. I think, you know, it's never too late to get your dog spayed. So having that done is going to decrease her chances of getting mammary cancer. And I definitely keep an eye on those mammary glands and feeling them and making sure that there is nothing going on in there. If you do notice something, you can go into your vet and they can do the surgery to have those mammary glands taken out. If that's, you know, worst case scenario, if something did happen. But the odds do go up as dogs get older and they've not been spayed.
Yeah. There you go, Tom.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. We have... There are so many great photos on our Facebook page. I'm just looking here down the line.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, God.
Here we're laughing. And there's so many really cute dogs and some cats in there as well. And Stella and Chewy's. The farm pet food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Stella and Chewy's is a great brand, and it's actually made here in Wisconsin.
And we can talk some more about that and about your pet as well. Stay with us. We'll be back right after the news. So happy to have you along today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You know, sometimes a thick line is drawn between conventional medicines and natural remedies, but the truth of the matter is that most modern-day medications were developed from age-old herbal preparations, and those more natural treatments can be very effective, as we learn when we visit with Dr. Carrie Donahue, owner and founder of Full Circle Veterinary Clinic. He's a graduate of the UW School of Veterinary Medicine, and she uses a range of alternative therapies to complement her traditional veterinary medical training. And Dr. Carrie, thanks again for joining us. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you for having me.
We have lots of callers and lots of people on Facebook wonderful photos and with wonderful questions as well. To start out, let's go back to the phones and Viola in Shawano. Thank you for waiting, Viola. What's on your mind?
I have a 13-year-old Chesapeake Bay Retriever. And she's been having problems with walking, getting up, and I just wonder if we had her on a Novox and a 75 milligrams, half in the morning and half at night with her food. It does seem to help a little.
Okay.
Now, I'm wondering if there could be something wrong with her back because she had chiropractic treatments when she was young.
Mm-hmm.
Her tail would be hanging down. She would have trouble, you know, and walking. And now I'm wondering if it kind of might be the same problem. And my son asked if there was any chiropractors around that would, treat a dog.
Yes, there are definitely veterinary chiropractors out there. And you can either find a human chiropractor that has been trained in canine anatomy that can do what they call spinal manipulation on dogs, on horses, on animals in general, or you can find a veterinarian that has been trained in chiropractic. So there are two avenues that you could go down. And I believe, I mean, we have some in Madison. I'm not sure if they're are any chiropractors up by you, but you might check out the Veterinary Chiropractic Association or the Veterinary Spinal Manipulation Association. I'm not sure if that's what it is, but you could Google something like that and find out.
There's another thing that she's got a problem with. She has never pooped in the house all these years. Now, all of a sudden, she wants to go outside. When she'll come back in, she'll be trailing poop while she walks.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so that, I mean, that could certainly improve with chiropractic. If there is some sort of a neurological issue or, you know, the muscles are not as strong back there as they might have been in the past, just an aging change. But, you know, maybe something to look into and get that checked out.
Yeah, good luck. Thank you for calling, Viola. I want to give Jim and Duluth a chance to join us. Jim, hello to you. Thanks for calling.
Oh, hi. Thanks, Dr. Donahue, for taking my call.
Yes.
I have a 5-year-old female lab. She was spayed as a pup, and she has taken estrogen in the past, but she's not taking it now. She has a growth on her left ear. It started pea-sized, and now it's about the size of a walnut. I've taken her into a couple different vets that haven't seen anything like it before. At first, it seemed like it might have been liquid-filled. They both took samples and sent them down to the cities to be tested. And the interesting thing is where they took the samples, though it sort of came out like growths from there. So now, you know, it's sort of spikes. There's sort of whitish spikes that came out everywhere where they poked and took a sample. It doesn't bother her at all. But, you know, it's... And they've said, well, you can either have it removed, but yours take a long time to heal, or just leave it as it is.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a tough one. You know, I guess considering the fact that it is growing, that she is 5 years old, it might not be the worst thing to look into having it taken off. If it's not in a spot where it's going to be a very, very difficult surgery, and I guess I don't know where exactly it is on the ear, but it might be better to do that now before it gets any bigger, before it might start to bother her, you know, when she gets, as she gets older. That would maybe be my recommendation at this point.
Worth a look, worth considering getting it done. Yeah. And you're fairly strongly recommending that.
I would, especially the fact that it is, that he said it started out pea size and now it's walnut size, so we know it's getting bigger. And you know, with those, even if it is a benign growth, like those lipomas too, even if it's benign, it's not any malignant type of cancer, depending on how much it's growing and where it's located, sometimes it's best just to get those taken off so they don't become more of an issue.
Good luck, Jim. Thanks a lot for calling. Chris in McFarland, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Dr. Carey.
Hi.
Our 12-year-old dog has had surgery for a malignant liver tumor. This was over a year ago.
Hmm.
We've recently started giving her Rimadyl for her arthritic pain.
Hmm.
Wondering if this drug might be too harsh given her history. And if you feel so, would there be a more natural herbal preparation we could give her for this arthritic pain?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question. And I think you're very correct in kind of being hesitant to give that Rimadyl because she has that history of the liver tumor. Rimadyl is an aspirin-like medication that we give to dogs, and it gets primarily processed through the liver. So if there is any issue, any liver disease, or even this history of having a liver tumor, it's going to put more stress on the liver, which I would not want to do. This would be another case where milk thistle might be enough nice addition just in general. But there are some very nice alternatives to Rimadyl that I always recommend people try first before moving to a heavier aspirin-type pharmaceutical medication. One of those is a homeopathic preparation, and it goes by the trade name Zeal. And it's Z-E-E-L, and it's a mix of different homeopathic remedies, and it's kind of like the most natural aspirin-type alternative.
Okay.
Works very well in dogs, and studies have been done comparing Zeal to Rimadyl, and they've found that it has very, very similar effects. Only thing with Zeal is it's not as fast-acting. You know, like you take an aspirin or you give your dog Rimadyl, it starts to work pretty quickly and they feel better. The homeopathic is something that you could start giving, get it on board, and you would hopefully see the results in a couple of weeks.
Mm. Okay. And how would I get Zeal? Is this available through the internet or?
Boy, you know, and actually Zeal is a homeopathic remedy made for humans. It works great for humans that also have arthritis, pain, or any even soft tissue pain or anything like that. So you can find it on the internet. You can find it at most health food stores, carry it, Zeal. I have it in my clinic. I use it all the time for dogs.
Oh, okay. All right, great.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you very much, Dr. Carey.
Yes, good luck.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call, Chris. We had an email from Roxanne. You mentioned milk thistle again, and Roxanne emailed and wondered if it would be okay to put a milk thistle tea bag in her pet's water dish. Would it be okay to have a very diluted, steady source for them? I have an 18-year-old kitty who does have allergies and is on blood pressure medications and anti-thyroid medication, and a 10-year-old rat terrier who licks his feet a lot, and a 7-year-old Parson Russell who's just sweet. Would it be okay to give them milk thistle in a tea bag form?
Well, it would not be my first choice for a way to get milk thistle into your animal. But that being said, cats and herbs, I think any way that you can get them into the cat is great. So if you can make the milk thistle tea and mix that in with your cat's food and your cat will take it, that's wonderful. And I think, you know, again, it's not going to do any harm. It will only help. I usually recommend doing the stronger tinctures just because it's a little bit more effective. It really gets into the system. And with milk thistle, too, it's not something that you would want to give every single day, day in and day out. The body is just not going to use it every single day. So I recommend doing about 7 days on and then take a break for 2 to 3 days and then do another 5 to 7 days. So just kind of intermittently to help support the liver, not every single day.
I got a Facebook question from Beth who says, our dog Taz was diagnosed with an aggressive mast cell tumor at the age of 9. She received surgery from our vet and then had radiation at the University of Wisconsin Vet School. Without treatments, they'd predicted 6 to 9 months that the animal would live. Our girl lived 6.5 more years. She chased a rabbit 2 days before she passed. So I just thought I'd give a little hope to anyone out there who has a dog with this cancer diagnosis.
Wow, that is a wonderful story. And it's so true. I mean, you just have no way of predicting how things are going to go. So, you know.
Thanks, Beth.
Yes.
Thanks for sending that along. And Deborah in Winona, Minnesota, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a 10-year-old cat who about 4 years ago had a neoplastic peripheral nerve sheath tumor on his tail. And now he's developed severe allergies. And after trying a lot of other things, our vet put him on Atopica, which, as you know, is a immunosuppressant. And I'm wondering, just how bad is that? The vet said, well, just, you know, keep an eye on, you know, be very vigilant for tumors and things. But how bad is this for the cats?
Well, it is an immune system suppressant. So, you know, with that in mind, I think this is one of those cases where you really have to find the balance between, is it controlling the allergy symptoms, and are we not causing anything further, any further side effects or anything else to happen? So, and that's such an individual decision. I think Atopica, as far as the immune suppressants go, is probably safer longer term than something like prednisone, but still, it, you know, it can have the immune suppressing effects. So I guess just based on your individual cat and how well it's working, but yeah, definitely there is a higher chance of your cat developing something else.
Okay. Well, I try not to give it to him unless I have to, unless
okay.
he's pulling his hair out a lot.
Okay.
So mm-hmm. okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. I got an email from Teresa, and this goes to some things you were talking about earlier, but it's certainly worth talking again. Have you found any connection to feline cancers and diet, as in type of food such as grain-free, wet versus dry, and so forth?
Boy, it's hard to make that specific connection, you know, between diet and development of cancer. But I definitely think, as we talked about earlier, if you can eliminate the grains from your cat's diet, it's just a more natural way for them to eat. So their immune system is going to be stronger anyway if you can get them off the corn and the wheat and eliminate the highly processed aspect of like the kibble or even the canned food, eliminate some of the genetically modified things in there like the corn and soy and wheat that might be present. So by going grain free, you're cutting out a lot of that. So I think you're going to be doing better in preventing cancer.
And what store brands of dog food do you recommend for a dog undergoing chemo?
Store brands of dog food, I would say my recommendation would be to look into some of those prepared raw foods or the prepared, the more of the fresher foods.
Okay.
Again, eliminating anything that has the preservatives, the potential for additives and chemicals and all of that stuff. As much as that as you can eliminate, the better. And we mentioned Stella and Chewy's. Again, that's a great Wisconsin brand. They make frozen raw food. They make dehydrated and freeze-dried raw food that you can reconstitute with water. If your pet likes it cooked, you can add a little bit of heat to it and lightly cook it and then give it to them. But that would be my top recommendation.
Nick in Poplar, Wisconsin. Hi, thank you for calling.
Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Sure.
I have a 8-year-old female black lab who seems to have quite a bit of anxiety, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
She's always kind of been a whiner, which has never been a problem, but in the last year, it's gotten significantly worse. We can't take her anywhere, it seems like. She wants to go places, but when we get there, she's just whiny and very at your heels all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's something we can try to alleviate some of that for her or what.
Boy, have you tried anything so far, like any natural supplements or anything like that?
We haven't.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, there are some simple things that you can do, even just to start and see if she responds. Does she have any aggression, any fear-based aggression, or is she just kind of has anxiety and wants to be with you all the time?
No, she's not. She doesn't have any aggression at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's definitely heightened. She's always been a gun-shy dog.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always, you know, definitely worse during thunderstorms or, you know, a fireworks episode or something like that. But now, and we've always known that and kept her away from that stuff, but now it just seems like it doesn't really matter. It's kind of all the time.
Yeah, yeah. And that's one of those things where if you don't step in, it's just going to get worse as she gets older. So I had mentioned the Bach flower essence called Rescue Remedy earlier, and that might be something to try with her. That's something that you can get at any health food store, you can order it online. And it's something that you can just add into their water dish. They don't taste it, and they're getting a little bit of this anti-stress, anti-anxiety, homeopathic blend every time they drink water. So that might be something to think about. Another thing that I've had some success with dogs that have anxiety in is a pheromone collar or a pheromone spray. And what this is, it's the pheromone or the hormone that dogs give off when they're feeling good, and they've kind of synthesized this and put it into a collar and into a spray that you can put on your dog, and it just makes them feel like everything is okay. So that might also be something to look into. The trade name of the one that I commonly use is called Adaptil, A-D-A-P-T-I-L.
There we go. Thank you, Nick. Thanks a lot for calling. And Ann in Madison. Hi, thanks for calling. What can we do for you?
Hi, I have a cat who, during the very hot summer a couple of years ago, decided he wanted to take his own, I call it a staycation, because he just went to a nearby nice spot and stay away for 15 days. A neighbor, I put up signs, and a neighbor returned him, and he'd always been very healthy. He was a rescued feral. But when he came back, he one pupil was really dilated, and it turned out he had toxoplasmosis. He was treated for it, but he lost vision in one eye. It didn't affect the other eye. And I was wondering, I didn't have the eye removed. He's about 12 years old now. But he doesn't seem nearly as energetic since he had toxoplasmosis. And I was wondering whether there were permanent effects of toxoplasmosis.
Boy, that's a tough question. I really don't see a lot of cats that have toxoplasmosis. So it might be worth having him in and just having some blood work done again, making sure that everything is okay internally. And if there is something else that you need to treat, to go ahead and treat that and find out what you need to do get him feeling better.
Probably a good plan, Ann. Thanks for calling, and good luck. Appreciate it very much. Dr. Carrie Donahue, our guest, and Dr. Carrie, we have all these adorable photos.
I know, I love this.
Kelsey sent a shot of her kitty. They're trying to train the kitty to go on the potty.
That is amazing. I tried to do that with my cats, and it did not work.
She wondered if there were health risks associated with that as opposed to the litter box.
Boy, not as far as I know. No, I think it's actually probably less of a health risk, to get that out of there so you don't have to even handle it or come into contact with it at all.
Well, it looks like it's learning. We have so many wonderful photos here. I just look at this. Sticking his tongue out at Leonard Cohen, the cat, the pug dog. and this is where we're looking at our Facebook page, the Larry Miller Show Facebook page. I hope you'll go there today and take a look at it, because there are so many wonderful photos. Here's another one from Jamie with her blind kitty Calico, and oh, Dr. Donahue and her staff removed a tooth from him last year. he says, thanks. And he's got his Packers hat on.
Oh, that is great. Thank you, Jamie.
So there, my goodness. There was a Facebook, Michelle had a photo of Ms. Ruby, she says a real gem, excuse the pun. Every boxer I've owned has developed a blood or lung cancer.
I know that's another breed that tends to be predisposed.
Yeah, and so you do the best you can, give them the proper, as good a diet as you can.
And that's the best life that you can, and that's all that you can do,
Well, listen, I know a lot of people are going to want to go to your Facebook page, or your website.
Yes, and I will go on the Facebook if there are any questions that haven't been answered, and I can answer some on there, too.
Oh, on the Larry Miller Show Facebook
yes.
page.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and you did that last time, and thank you so much.
Oh, of course, yeah.
It was wonderful to see see all those extra answers. Dr. Carrie Donahue will be taking a look at our Facebook page, so go to the Larry Miller Show Facebook page and see all those wonderful photos, and she'll be answering a few more questions. And we will look forward to your next visit. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Carrie Donahue from Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care in Madison. Tomorrow we'll find out about how our reptiles and amphibians survive the harsh winters. Stay with us.